Okay, welcome to Talking Tough, episode 7 or something, just above 10.
Yeah, we've had a couple of weeks out now, haven't we? We've had a bank holiday, we missed it a couple of times.
Didn't we? I think, to be honest, it was because it was my birthday. It was the first time we missed it, actually. And it's not because I was celebrating hard, because we were in it, but I don't know what happened. But that was the second, so it's been 2 weeks.
Busy time, yeah, and then just struggled to get time to sit down and do one, I think. But good job we have done today, because we've got another guest on. Rolling through these guests now. Some of you will know.
What's my name going to be?
What's your name going to be? Oh, well.
I think that's. I think we'll stick with just
Mark.
Mark.
Just Mark for now.
Just Mark.
Just Mark. That's all he is. Just Mark. Make it Mark. So, for those of you who are in house and listen, you will have met Mr. Mark Cooney, who's come on board recently. Who's with us full time and has led some pretty horrendous sessions so far, I think, I mean that in the standpoint of it's been quite hard work, not the fact that he's a terrible trainer, so that's, let's get that cleared up. But there was quite a lot of feedback after one of your first sessions, Mark. Be honest though, you've got to enjoy a little bit of that, a little bit of like, oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, a little bit. It's nice to have some feedback,
See, this is where he's one of these, I pretend to be nice people. At the end of the day, you've got to remember, personal trainers have either been bullied in the past or just got a slight sadistic problem. I think that Rob is a slightly sadistic male. I obviously had issues with being very sure in the past, and I've now taken that back in a step of power as being a personal trainer. How can I make people upset? Let's do it. Mark's playing the whole, I'm going to be nice, but I reckon 6 months down the line he'll show his true colours. Not just the strong colour of white that he's showing at the moment. But yeah, the sun should hopefully help with that.
Fingers crossed.
So I think let's just put him on the spot. Really.
Let's get a little backstory if possible and see where.
I've got a great one. But no, let's hear yours, Mark. Let's go for it. Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself, Mark.
A bit about me. Started personal training when I was 19, sort of 20. What do you want to know, really, then?
Well, tell us, where did you start your training? What got you into training?
I started down in Gosling Sports Park in Wellington City. For a little while, I was there for a couple of years. It was pretty full on there, to be honest with you. We started boot camps and stuff like that, so I was heavily involved with boot camps and stuff. That's where I started powerlifting. Started competing around that sort of time when I was about 20 or so.
Any good?
It went alright. Did progress eventually to the British Championships and then the World Championships, which was, really, really good. Really good experience.
Intense?
Very intense. Yeah, it was hard. It's a different sort of life competing, as you know, like with your physique and stuff. It's hard to separate. Like, obviously, you've got your work life, you've got your family life, and you've got obviously competing. And obviously, competing, you want to do the best. You want to be the best at that time. So it's it is intense. It's hard to juggle everything around that as well. You know, with your food, with obviously getting your training sessions in, periodizing as well, and actually getting there. So yeah, that was quite hard. But it was a great experience, loved doing it, we'll do it again. And after that, obviously, moved up to St. Neots area. That's where I met Josh.
So we're not a couple, by the way.
We're not a couple, no.
But
moving together.
We did live together. For a little bit.
We had steak and eggs for breakfast.
We were living the dream back then, eating machines, training. Bit of PT in between, I suppose.
Yeah, that got in the way, really, didn't it? That work. Slowed us down, cleaning swimming pools and looking after pensioners, but we did it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did that at Buckton and that. And it was good, really good time. Obviously, met my wife at that sort of time as well, and had to move away for her work. And, we went to settle down, buy a house, have a family and stuff like that. So, it's hard. So PT became sort of like an evening and weekend thing for me, and I had to go back to doing what I was doing before personal training, which is fair enough. But so I had a little bit of a break from full-time PT, and it just turned into part-time, sort of like evenings, weekends, weekends in the park when it was cold and it was raining.
Yeah,
it was great fun, but you know, I had some great clients, fantastic clients, and you know, they'd be doing it whatever the weather. So it was all good. And then obviously you lads had this fantastic opportunity for me when we decided to move back to be closer to family. Had this fantastic opportunity. Thought I had to take it. Had to get back on board, you know, living the dream with steak and eggs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
2 weeks in and that's not happened yet.
I will provide steak and eggs. At the moment, we've got tuna.
And that's it's good.
Tuna sweet corn.
You're going to be risking your stomach there.
Yeah.
Josh cooking your steak and eggs, because you'll probably cook them Saturday and forget to put them in the fridge. Bring them in anyway on the Monday. Oh, I've got this steak and eggs.
Yeah, I mean, it's luxury food.
We won't see Mark for another 4 days.
No.
He hasn't got the iron stomach that I've built up over these. I've got a pretty solid stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, what, we've been, what, 4 years on the going, and we've never had any sort of hot food, have I, on the lunch? I've just been anything cold.
You cooked it and left it, and then...
It's a good chance it may have been out for a day, it may have been done fresh that morning. It may have been put into the box hot, and then I've put it straight into the fridge, which is also a big no-no. But I'm standing strong. I'm not going to say that...
Going against the grain.
I've had a couple of wobbles in
the time. I wouldn't recommend it, but...
Yeah. This isn't nutritional advice.
Don't cook the food and leave it out.
Prep before, and this is a key tip, you should always prep and not be like I am, because otherwise you could be in some serious stomach troubles. But talk about tips then, okay, Mark. I think we always like to hear people's like sort of top tips in the industry, of whether it be nutritional, fitness related, you know, exercise related. What would you say, like, okay, I think a nice one to start is two key things that you would say are the most productive for getting results with your training, not your diet, but with your training. Two key things you think would make people productive in their training.
I think, firstly, you kind of need a plan of action. Like, you need to know what you're doing in the gym.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the gym, I've obviously, you know, going back to obviously where I come from and that, I've worked in commercial gyms before, and you know, I see a lot of people going in like, oh, what do I train today? You know, just making it up on the spot. Oh, let's do a bit on this machine, do a bit on that machine. Are you going to get anywhere? You're doing something, which is better than doing nothing. But at the same time, you don't know what you're doing. There's no tracking there. There's no, you know, no consistency. 1 week you might be doing a bit of bench, and then you're like, you know, the same day you're like, oh, well, I did chest last week, I'll do chest again. But
well, we know the routine of... I say 9 times out of 10 commercial gym members will go through a bit of a circuit of the gym, maybe.
So yeah, they'll do a bit of this,
warm up
on
a CV machine, maybe a bit of a cycle or a elliptical trainer, go around the machines just doing maybe their basic three sets of 10 of every machine. If they don't get bored, they go around the whole circuit, do maybe a little bit of CV at the end, 20 minutes, and that'll be them done.
Elliptical. Let's go back to that. Have you ever sat on an elliptical?
Elliptical.
I haven't sat on one.
I've not sat on one. Yeah, it's the old cross trainer, yeah?
I thought you were on about the handbike. I thought that's what they class as elliptical, right?
No, it's elliptical. This is a fitness professional right here.
I'll be honest with you, it's keeping me away from it. It's also cardio.
It's probably one of the worst machines, to be honest. It's not a great thing to go on.
Right.
You're not really... It's like, how many calories do you really burn just going around and like a... It's almost like motion. Once you've got it going, it takes you around, doesn't it? So it's those cross trainers, I wouldn't recommend, but there's a hell of a lot of better ways to get fit. Anyway, elliptical trainers, yeah.
There you go. See, I thought elliptical was where you sat down with the arm, like the hand, like the sprinting thing, you know, where you get your arms going around.
Yeah,
I thought that class is elliptical. I knew the cross trainer being, obviously, as a cross trainer, never knew it class is elliptical. I've learned today, winning. There you go. Too far down the line to learn something that's very basic, apparently.
Mm.
Old school. Show my colours. So in terms of having a plan, then, that for me could mean numerous things, right? So
it could just be having your sessions booked in to come into, obviously our members don't necessarily know what they're going to be doing each session.
Yeah.
They know they're going to train mostly whole body. We plan it for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's taken out of their hands. So they don't have to know what to do when they come in. They just got to make that booking. But for their plan, that is to make sessions. So if you're on a 3 sessions a week, your plan might be, right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you make those sessions and you work hard in them, that's your plan cracked. Well done. However, if you were to be a commercial gym member and go, right, I'm going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but don't know what you're going to do there, that's another sort of kettle of fish that people struggle with.
Yeah, try and break it down. Again, another thing I would do is probably maybe a split body routine. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just change it up. You know, you might do upper body, lower body, upper body. Next week, you might do lower body, upper body, lower body.
Yeah, see, this. I mean, there's like 100 different ways of, say, can do it. And keeping, I think what you're saying there, though, is good in terms of keeping it interesting. So it doesn't always have to be, because I know that some people can get even just like a four-week program, as we know. Like, we do it with people who do, like, microcycles. And if you do the same movements for, like, 4 weeks or something, like, say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for instance, but you do the same thing on a Monday for 4 weeks on the bounce, even that, people can get bored of that. So, you know, there are ways of, I think there's
keeping it interesting,
you know, keeping it interesting is huge, but then also having...
It's good that you said that. I mean, it moves on to my next sort of fitness tip, is actually mixing it up a bit, because if you're in there doing the same old thing every time, you're always going to get the same results. If you've always done what you've always done, you're always going to get the same result, which is...
Yes, so if you're not changing the stimulus,
you're not going to... You want to change the stimulus.
Yeah.
So this goes back to the said principle, doesn't it? You know, you need, your body will adapt to the imposed demands that you place upon it.
Yeah.
So you need to be changing it up every so often. You need to be increasing your weight, increasing the load, increasing the poundage on the muscle.
Yeah.
Over time. So again, it's planning, but at the same time, you've got to keep changing the stimulus to get results.
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, there's multiple ways of doing that stimulus change, because. Yeah. You know, like, for instance, when you were doing your powerlifting, for, you know, say, terms, you were actually probably doing some very key fundamental movements week in, week out, but yet you're changing stimulus.
Changing the poundage.
But that was poundage, that was time under tension, that was speed work, there was... But yet your movements may have been pretty much a handful, you know. You weren't doing a kettlebell press on a Bosu ball to increase your squat, for instance. You know, there wasn't any of these crazy movements,
pounds on your squat, one-legged balance in squat.
But you see it a lot, because it's a pretty movement, right? Like, people think it's an attractive thing if you can.
Because basic body weight squatting or kettlebell squatting or whatever it may be is just not as interesting, is it?
But it
gets a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you can get a lot more out of it, right? But as you say, so changing the stimulus could either mean adapting, changing movements potentially, or changing the speed, the reps, the tempo, the weight,
tension, time under tension,
all these different things. And I think that's a cool way of doing it. You know, I actually had a new guy come in today, which is very rare. I don't often have new people coming in, because, you know, I've got a pretty solid client base, which I love, and we work with and we do stuff. But a guy, a good friend of myself and my brother, and I just showed him, just not being funny, just to look at tempo. It's something he'd never, ever thought about. He said, I generally just go through the movements. And I said, have you ever thought about, you know, the bottom of your bench as such? Because it was almost bouncing off his chest. It was almost just a classic bench. You know, when you see guys who maybe don't really bench regularly, you know, nearly sort of, you know, up to the neck when they come in, real high, real sort of wide grip. No, rotation and stuff. And it was almost bouncing off the ribcage. And I was sort of like, you know, I want you to think about this now and just slow it down and actually almost hold it for a second at the bottom of the movement, and then actually think about squeezing your chest, rowing it in when you're coming down and things along those lines. Just a couple of little things that we probably take for granted and stuff. But
yeah.
He said that 8 reps at that weight was 10 times harder than the 8 reps he'd just done literally about 2-3 minutes ago, which he just banged through. And he said, add more weight on. First thing I did was say, no, let's change it. And he was like, I don't think I can do it anymore. So... It's crazy, right? Because I remember you actually coming up with a story the other day, Rob, when you were working somewhere else, and that the guys had like 60 kg dumbbell shoulder press or something crazy or whatever, and you're like animal, but you got them just
doing
changes,
like quarter or half reps almost.
Yeah, and you're getting them to just change
half
what they were doing.
Doing full reps with a 1.5 rep scheme going on, and then struggled.
Yeah, definitely, and it's just, it's those sorts of things.
Ego things, when you're looking at the guys, especially younger age, 20s, 30s, whatever, maybe not so much in the 30s, it's more the younger guys, there's a bit of an ego thing about lifting the heaviest weights in the gym and just doing more and more and more, but...
And the skinniest vests, that's always skin.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's got to be.
Really miss the skinny vest. That was a big thing from last year.
There's no structure to the training, you see.
Yeah.
It could be related to anything, really. It could be related to people going out running and just putting their trainers on and running and running and running, trying to get more distance under their belt when they'd be better off taking the mileage down and doing some speed work.
And that's why
short sprints and walks, yeah, and
like those little apps,
loads of ways to vary
great.
It. Yeah, that's the like, couch to 5K.
Yeah, those things are great because they actually give someone some structure.
Some variance as well.
But also, it's not about going, right, let's go run as hard and as far as we can today. Yeah. Ah, I'm wrecking myself tomorrow. Run as hard and as far as you can today. Ah, I'm wrecking myself tomorrow. Because there's no consistency. And that's a, I think that's a massive thing. I mean, I know it with even certain people I know are in the industry and stuff, and people that even know about ellipticals, you know, more than what I know, and they still go into a point of they will work at an RPE of 10 like every time, and it's like you're not doing it, and they're like, you know, I'm so sore, or oh, I can't do anything, or my body just feels drained, so then they have to rest in or not do anything for like 2 or 3 days, and it's like, look, just let's drop it down a touch, get some good form. Get some, you know, get some good quality reps through. Come again tomorrow. Do, you know, say like Mark suggested, maybe do a different body part or a different section of the body. Do that and then come back to it the following day if you want to. So you're keeping frequency, volume, getting that change, but also are able to do it and not completely feel wrecked in your whole body, because it does have a huge effect on your central nervous system and things, you know.
Yeah,
and like, if you're then you're going into the gym or you're running, as you say, and you're smashing out as far as you can possibly run, and you come home, you feel completely wrecked. Well, unfortunately, we've all got the rest of our lives to live. It's not, you know, we're not at that point where we just get to go train and go, right, okay, that's me done for the day. Soak it up in a bath, you know, bit of food delivered or whatever. You have to get up, you know, you have to do other stuff. So you've got to look at your lifestyle and get that real sort.
Working
at
a percentage is key. For a lot of people.
A lot of people don't do that.
They go flat out. And yeah, I mean, lifting weights is easiest thing to relate this to, because people, most guys in a commercial gym will go in and try and lift heavier every week.
As much as they can, yeah.
Until they can't do it, and then they hit a plateau, and then they either give up or wreck themselves.
Yeah.
But we know that the best training programs are always at percentages, and they vary up and down to... And you probably go through a whole strength training cycle never really getting close to heavy, like to your maxes. It'll be tough, the reps will be there, but at a percentage of your max lifts. And over that period of time, you'll actually be progressing under the surface as such by doing these percentage lifts and get stronger. However, you never really get to the, never just go under the bar 100% right next week, 105%, what, 110%.
Yeah.
With your powerlifting, you'd have been just doing one rep every session.
Yeah, exactly.
One rep!
Yeah. 10 minutes, do one rep.
Done. Walk away, come back in again tomorrow. Yeah. Done. Mind you, that sounds like a great program.
Yeah.
Come all over.
Yeah.
One rep program sounds like my sort of program, to be honest.
Yeah.
Warm up, one rep. Done.
Happy days.
Go and eat.
Yeah. So that's training then. Let's, I guess, I always think this one's an interesting one, because I think there's so many different views on food. And I'd love to know what you're, just one. I don't want multiple, because there's so much out there. What do you think is the one thing that, for someone who was, I don't know, competing or following some sort of nutrition plan or dieting, like, I'm only saying competing because it's something you've done in the past, how do you think, or what tip would you give someone who's trying to get a focus on something, just one tip, what could they do to benefit them or to give them, what would you advise from your experience you found the best? To help someone with that sort of side of things in nutrition.
In terms of nutrition,
yeah,
meal prep is key. It's the big thing. Yeah,
right.
It is hard. I must admit, it is hard to prep your meals up for the next day, especially when you've got a really, really busy day, a big, busy schedule ahead of you. Mm. You know, whether you do it at night, whether like you get up early in the morning, I know you've done that in the past,
yeah.
You know, you've had to get up really early, prep your meals for the rest of the day. It really is key, because if you don't prep, you don't know where you're going
to
go.
Come to the quick fix sort of
exactly.
Snacks,
yeah,
things,
yeah.
Right?
It's like, oh, drive past the petrol station, pop in here, grab a sandwich and stuff like that. It's not. Are you really going to hit your macros? You know, are you tracking them? You know, are you really going to hit your macros by going for the fast fix? You know, the quick stop off sandwich, Apple, you know, that sort of thing. Bag of crisps. Bag of crisps, or you know, or some people are like, oh well, I've got a handful of nuts here, you know, just I feel a bit healthier if I've got a handful of nuts. I've got like some fruit. Again, and it's just remembering that, you know, in the fruit you're gonna have a lot of carbohydrates. There's a lot of sugar in your fruits. A lot of people do whack a smoothie on in the morning and then don't realise how much carbohydrate are actually in the smoothie, you know, and then they're whacking that down and thinking, oh, is that, I've just put that into, at the end of the day, come to put it into, I don't know, MyFitnessPal or something, and realise, oh, I'm well over on my carbohydrate intake. I've smashed so many calories today just through
red crisps.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest, that's a small percentage of people who actually do track. A lot of people will go. Yeah,
they
won't realise why they're not being able to shift weight, but they're going to grab 400 or 500 calorie sandwiches. I know now it's a little bit easier to recognise the calorie intake because they'll have like a red thing on the front, but you've still got to actually look at that. It's quite small print. You've got to read it. You've got to know certain ingredients in those sandwiches. So not say that they're terrible choices, but there's some decent quick snacks out there. However, you can really avoid all these sort of unnecessary calories that you shouldn't really be taking in if you want to lean up, for instance, if that's your goal, there, by just food prepping yourself a meal before. And so I can't remember, I was speaking to someone recently and they said, oh yeah, I struggle because I'm always out on the road, I'm always in my car. I was like, well, what about a cool box? They had no answer to it. It's like, if there's a solution straight away. You can't say that you can't get a decent meal in because you can just chuck a cool box in.
My thing that I've got, that, you know, a company called Prepped and Packs, picked up, and there's all sorts of different companies that are doing, you know, actually was brilliant.
Around
and like when we went to like London, where I did different things, it was brilliant because I was like, it was actually probably the first time that the food was being refrigerated and stored properly since being. But it worked really well. And yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, I know it's not everyone's sort of cup of tea to pull out a box on the train and eat in front of people, but
if it means you're getting somewhere, even for just a couple of times a week.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to do it all day, every day sort of thing. But then
it's the same as pulling out a sandwich on the train, isn't it?
You know,
a sandwich that you've picked up from the train station.
It looks
a bit different, but it's essentially the same thing.
And a lot of people will probably be half jealous because it's not be funny, but something that you've probably prepared and looked good, you know, rather than just
chicken and rice and some vegetables rather than packet sandwich from Boots or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you know, it's you get that down and you'll know that you're doing something positive. And at the end of the day, who cares? Like, really?
I think a lot of people probably have that perception that others are going to judge them for, oh, look at that person bringing his food with them.
Have you ever thought that, though?
I haven't, but that's what we think. Going through,
it's what you think of other people. You think other people are thinking, but have you ever thought?
I got over that quite quickly. I'm just like, I'm all about the food. Yeah. I don't really care that I'm eating out of a Tupperware box right now because it's either that or a cardboard box I've just bought a sandwich in. So
someone's looking at me like that rather than thinking, oh, I really should have done what that guy over there is doing.
Because
I'm eating this soggy sandwich I've just picked up, you know, I'd rather be doing that over there. So there's another way of thinking.
Nobody likes
it.
A soggy sandwich, do they?
That's terrible. But the other thing is that obviously you don't do that and you don't pick up things, you avoid all the snacks, but then later on you get so hungry that just something else, it's just you've got to get something. And then it's even worse for food. Or you just go through hours and hours of the day without even eating I just get hangry.
Somebody sends you a freebie.
Yeah.
With Haribo Saft Goldenbar, which is, I'm assuming, the German version of Haribo Golden Bears.
A company sent us samples of some USB sticks in a nice presentation box in the bag. A couple of samples of Haribo.
Which is completely irrelevant.
Six bags of Haribo.
A bit random.
Brilliant.
But to be honest with you, this has made my day. It has made my day. I'm such a... My inner child, I say inner child because I've been eating Haribo since I was a child. I've not stopped yet, but Golden Bears.
It's Haribo.
Free.
Is the...
Anything free is good,
sweet
but
sweet choice when you're in the field or in the operations.
Right, okay.
Bags of Haribo. Literally.
Because they last long.
It is.
Yeah. Just because, no, they don't last that long.
Because you scuff them.
But yeah, literally, just, yeah.
What,
good energy.
What type of Haribo?
Well, it depends on... The easiest one is Starmix, because there's no sugar involved and stuff. But then in any hot environment, they just melted into one block of solid...
Starmix. Starbucks bar.
Yeah, pretty much. We get those packets coming through from like welfare packets from home. It's people send parcels, or whatever, and then anything that would melt, obviously, it's left out in the sun in big sort of container things. Yeah. But by the time it gets to you, things that can melt have melted and just formed into other things. You're just like block of Haribo, brilliant. But yeah,
what would your top Haribo be?
I don't know, I quite like the Tantastics.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah.
Tantastics. Yeah, I don't have them that much, but yeah.
I don't know if you can class Malham as Haribo. It is kind of Haribo.
It is Haribo.
But I reckon they are terrible for you in terms of your, the E numbers in them.
Oh.
It's like a, how have they made that?
The Malham,
yeah. I don't know.
They are good though.
They're good, but I think they're probably one of the worst ones for you.
I had an interesting conversation actually yesterday about with my friend. If he comes out with this diet, yeah, and it goes viral, because I think there's a good chance of it. It's one of those diets that everyone would want to be on, because basically he eats so badly that now all he does is just adapt how badly he eats. Still eats bad, but makes choices. And he was saying to me, he was like, flexible diet, but still quite horrendous, though, when we're talking about health. Basically, his option was, do I go for Haribo or crisps? Which ones are better for me? Was his option. So,
but how does he make decisions?
When he asked me, he was quite, you know, like Haribo crisps. I was like,
well, how much?
What? Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you going for? And I'm pretty sure he meant. I mean the whole bag of, you know, whatever crisps, or a whole bag of Haribo Starbucks.
Let's ask
What's the best?
Lauren's opening, actually. Lauren, quickly.
Yes, calling, coming in live. It's Lauren Mello.
Haribo or crisps? You don't even know the context of the question, do you?
Let's see what our answer is.
Yeah, we'll see the answers.
Haribo crisps.
It depends on the occasion or...
Such a female answer. Such a female answer.
Everyday snack, probably crisps.
Everyday snack, go for crisps.
This fella.
Well, I said, if you're trying to lose weight, mate, I probably wouldn't pick up either of those packs because you eat the whole lot, aren't you? And he went, I will eat the whole lot. I said, but bring Starmix because I'll help you, which technically is helping your diet.
Half the bag from Josh.
Half the calories.
Oh, you are so selfless.
So, tip of the day, it's the final thing to end on.
Bring a friend.
If any dietary problems, just come and eat your meal with Josh.
Yeah, I'll half your calories.
Straight away.
Easy. Best start going. Lauren is a crisps fan.
Yeah. I used to love crisps when I was a kid, but
I think it's just one of those things that you always have when you're a kid, don't you? Like you always have like a sandwich packet crisps.
Yeah, see, I was more chocolate bar. See, and that's why I've got silly chocolate cravings all the time.
Mark? Don't know really.
Your wife packs your lunch, right?
So yeah, she does. Yeah, she's pretty good. She's very good at that. Yeah, she doesn't put crisps in there.
Good. Keep them away from the crisps. Right. So. There's Mark. Say hello if you see him, you know, and maybe ask him about some of his previous competitions, because I'm sure he'll love to tell you about them. So,
the guys keep reminding me. Cheers.
But we'll check in with you soon, and thank you very much. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.